Before Zach starts here, I just wanted to say something real quick. Last Sunday, while he was bringing the message, how many of you were here last week or saw that message? So while he was speaking, the Lord was really showing me how blessed I am to be with you guys together in this walk. And I take myself back in history a little bit to tell you what I'm talking, or show you what I'm talking about. When Lurley and I first started seeing that we needed to go to a Spirit-led church back in the early 90s, we were at that church for maybe 5-6 years, and then one day it came to my, I realized, talking to someone, that occasionally people might be faking it. Someone was talking about a special speaker that had come to our church, and they were talking about taking a courtesy fall when the Spirit hit them. And I was pretty naive, I guess, and I was a little blown away by that whole concept because I wasn't walking that myself at all. But I came to realize that, maybe there's people that aren't really that truthful about their walk. And I just, while Zach was speaking last Sunday, I was realizing how blessed I am. I just wanted to let you know personally, I really appreciate that you guys are the real deal. You're not portraying something, trying to conjure up, say, your tongues, for instance, or whatever. If you have them, you have them. If you don't, you don't, right? And you're not like trying to put something out there just to fit in or whatever. And that's just really special deal to me. And you guys are just really special to me because you're honest with where you are in your walk. So, amen.
So, let's pray. I'm going to do something, I think. I'm kind of waiting for a bit of a release from the Lord to do what I want to do, to make sure it's what He wants to do. So, let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You for the Spirit that You have sent here to equip, to comfort, to direct, and to share Your heart through, so that we can do what You want us to do and move the way You want us to move, say what You want us to say. And Father, I pray that You would enable me to communicate what I feel You put in my heart to communicate today. I pray that it would come across clearly, and Lord, that hearts, lives would be open, changed. We love You. We're thankful for You. We embrace all that You are and all that You have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm going to slow everything way down today compared to what I usually, compared to what I usually do. I'm going to try to slow down, because I feel a real importance on what I am sensing the Lord wants to do today. But I want to, what word I'm looking for, demystify what I'm doing and what I am even just saying as I'm walking down here. Sometimes we use terminology or we say certain things when we get comfortable with standing up here or preaching, or even when you're just sharing the Lord with people, we often use terms like God told me this, or I feel the Spirit moving me this way or that. And for people who don't understand that, or people who don't necessarily have or haven't yet experienced that, it can seem like, what? what do you mean? Like, I'm going to tell a quick story. You've probably heard this story before because I know I've told it. But when I was first married to Sage, we were living in Colorado. And we were in our place, and Sage was talking to her parents, and her mom told her that her mom told her that God told them to sell their truck. And this is what I did. I laughed and was like, God told you to sell your truck? What? God doesn't care about your truck. Like, God's got more important things to do than to tell you to sell your truck. If he's going to tell you anything, he's going to be like, go share Jesus. Or, you know, like, give up your dirty sin. Or, right? I mean, did anybody, this is how I thought about this. Like, if God has anything to say, it's got to be wrapped around either my filthiness or my lack of sharing him. God could care less about my material things. And this is not a message about material things. This is a message about hearing God. But I remember, I literally had to repent years later. Actually, it was probably a year, maybe a year and a half later, when I realized God cares about everything in my life. God cares because he cares about me. And if it's important to me, it's important to him. Obviously, within reason, you understand, you can't take everything I say and try to box it up and put it to everything. I'm just saying, like, I had some lessons to learn because I didn't understand that God wants to talk to me about everyday things. Sometimes God may tell you to sell something because it's taking up too much of your time, or God may tell you to sell something because he didn't tell you to buy it in the first place. Or, do you know what I mean? Like, I've learned these lessons the hard way, but I have learned these lessons, and I'm learning these lessons, Lord. I have learned, I am learning, I have not learned. I really am trying to be completely honest with you because I don't want to stand up here and be like, oh, I hear from God so clearly and so perfectly, and don't you wish you could be like me? The truth is I'm learning alongside you. But here's something that I have begun to learn in a clearer way, is there is a battle for control. There's a battle for control over your life. There is, even just in yourself, your soul wants to control your own, your flesh. There are different things, but God created us to be spirit. Let me prove this to you really simply, and it's like this. In Genesis, God created man, right, out of the dust of the ground. He formed man, and so man is laying there. Just imagine a body. Whatever that body may have looked like, I'm not sure Adam looked just like us. I don't really know. I'm not into too weird of thoughts. But I've heard some different kinds of thoughts and whatever. Nobody fully knows. But this body, let's say he looked just like me. Probably didn't, but maybe. He's laying there, but there's no life in him. Until God breathed a spirit into him. This is what your Bible says, that God breathed. It's the word pneuma. It's wind. It's breath. It's the spirit that came to life inside of Adam, and it gave this body life. And so when God said to Adam, if you eat of the fruit of this tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. His physical body did not collapse over and die, but his spirit died in a way that separated him from God. Do we all know this? Okay. I'm not going to get way down the road in this. So when Christ, when Jesus came to the earth and lived out his earthly 33 years, the idea that he never sinned, not once, not at all, not in any way, is absolute and 100% true. It is not metaphorically, it is not allegorically, it's not, it is absolutely 100% truth, so that he could reestablish the life of the spirit of man in the communion that God desires to have with man. Do you remember when Adam, in the beginning, he's walking in the garden? The Bible says that Adam walked with God and spoke with him in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve both. It wasn't just about Adam. I'm just throwing Adam out there. But there was a communion with God that Adam had that suddenly began to shift and change when he made the decision he made. Now, Jesus, with his life, his death, his resurrection, and the sending of the Spirit, which came in like a wind and came upon people and brought life where there was death, and reestablished a communion with God that was broken in the garden. So let me read something to you out of Romans chapter 8. This is one of my favorite chapters and books in the entire Bible. Love it. I think that there are not a whole lot of... that wasn't the right statement. There are a lot, but this particular chapter could literally be a book all to itself. Like, it is... it's so chock full. But you have to know 5, 6, and 7 before you read 8 to fully grasp what's going on. But I just for sake of our time, I want to grab some of this scripture. And you'll understand why I'm talking the way I'm talking and slowing down like this here in just a few minutes. So I'm going to just start in verse 1. I think I'm going to read about 5 verses, and then I'm going to talk. So verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, this law that we keep reading about, this is... they're literally the 613 laws, but this is, and this is actually speaking of all of them. We often say the Ten Commandments, but it actually was about all the laws that were put in place to keep people in check. Like, okay, if you break this law, you got to kill this animal. You do this, you got to kill that animal. You do this, you got to do that. You do this, you got to do that, and so on and so forth. And it was a method God put in place for people to recognize, I can't do this. Like, I can't make it. I can't be good enough. I can't work my way into right relationship with God. And so Paul is describing here that the law was weak, in that it couldn't provide what was necessary to bring back a place of communion and right standing with God. So he begins to describe the Spirit, and he says, what the law could not do, this is verse 3, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So in other words, just like a man, or he was a man, but he was fully man, fully God, another day. Lightness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I know that that's a lot. I know it's a lot to kind of go, whoa, what? But just bear with me a minute. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, it says the things of the Spirit, but you have to know that what he's saying is set their minds on the things of the Spirit. It's the same, you have to compare the two. So those who live in the flesh is because we set our minds on the flesh. Those who live in the Spirit is because we set our minds on the Spirit. So listen to what I'm about to tell you. I'm going to start with the same sentence. We have a battle and a war continually happening inside of us of who's going to control this. Who's going to control who I am and what I think. And I'm going to give you a really good, solid example of what this looks like and why it's important for you to know who you are. Judges chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. You can. I would love to read the whole chapter 2, but I'm only going to read a little bit in my little paraphrased mind for you to get what's going on. So Israel has been overrun by the Midianites. The Midianites have made this evil plan to, they have ransacked everything that Israel has, and every once in a while, the Midianites and the Amalekites, during the time of harvest, they would come in by the droves. It said there were so many, they looked like locusts. You couldn't even count the amount of men and riders and camels and all these things that were coming at them, and they would come and just destroy all of Israel's crops. They would kill whoever got in the way. They'd kill every donkey, every sheep, everything they saw, they'd wipe it out. And it says in Judges chapter 6 that during this time, this is when Israel began to dig out caves and dens and places in the mountains where they hid, and they knew that during harvest, man, we're going to get overrun by all this enemy stuff. And let's just create these places to hide. And so they would run, and they'd hide in these places. And it says that there was a man named Gideon who was in the threshing floor. Now, the threshing floor, he's in there hiding, right? And, it was a wine press. And he was threshing wheat. Tell the story the right way. But he's in this place, and he's hiding, and he's trying to thresh some wheat to be able to make some bread to live, to share, to whatever. And the angel of the Lord, I think it might even say God at this point, comes and says to Gideon, "Hey there, mighty man of valor." And Gideon's like, "You got the wrong guy." Right? Because here's what Gideon thought about himself. Gideon says, I'm from the least of the tribes of Israel. And my family is the least of the families of the least of the tribes of Israel. And I'm the least of my family. In other words, I'm the nothing from the nothing. I mean nothing. I know nothing. You've got the wrong guy. And I love God. He ignored him. Right? Like, I have God do this to me sometimes. I'm like, "God, you can't do that because I have this or I did that or I don't know or I can't. I shouldn't be the one doing this because I'm not, you know, eloquent with my words or I'm not, I haven't thought about that or I haven't studied that or I don't know that or I'm not experiencing that. I'm not encountering that. This is my world." And God just goes, "Yeah, anyway, so when you get up there to speak, this is what happens to me." And I'm going, this is what happens to Gideon. Gideon's like, "God, you see me the wrong way. I'm not that guy. I'm great.
what do you mean I'm valiant? What do you? I'm hiding, trying to make something. Actually, he's hiding in a place that's supposed to be for celebration and joy, and he's just trying to live. If I could just get enough wheat to make some bread, I can eat and I can share it with maybe my family and we won't starve to death. God, who do you think you're talking to? Got the wrong guy. The Lord spoke something to me in prayer before we started, and he said this: what you believe or what you expect sets a ceiling upon what God is going to do, or it creates an open ceiling for an open heaven that God always has in store for us. What you believe dictates either a ceiling or an open. We're constantly thinking we need to open heaven. We don't need to open heaven. Heaven was never closed. When heaven opened, God never said, and then heaven shut. Heaven was open, and we go, I think I need this right, that right, this fixed, that fixed. And God's going, you're exactly who I was looking for. You're exactly who I need. And we go, yeah, but. They used to say, you need to put your butt on the altar. So I want to challenge something. Do you have to strive really hard to think like a man? Like a man thinks? Not as a like a man, but like a man, a woman. But like, do you have to try really hard to do things that people do? Or like, do you have to practice really hard to sin? I mean, I know we get better at it. Right? Listen. Ephesians 5 says, no longer be drunk with wine that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a continual filling. Filled. Like, you get drunk. If you were going to live in a perpetual state of drunkenness, you don't get drunk one time and it lasts you your whole life. At least that's what Steve told me. I don't know. I mean, he's like, man, you got to drink, and you got to keep drinking. No, I'm just playing. He didn't tell me that. But somehow we think we get these spiritual muscles, and we practice our spiritual disciplines, or we got filled with the Spirit on this occasion, or even that occasion and that occasion, and I got prayed for, and I fell down, and we live on past experiences, hoping it will carry us through and be filled with the Spirit enough. It is literally as if, I know this is a terrible example, but it would be as if, you know, because I got drunk one time in my life back in 1990-something, and that, I'm still drunk to this day. Does that seem stupid? Does that seem foolish? I mean, even hearing me say it right now, I'm thinking, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Okay, not really. I've heard some dumber things. But it's a pretty dumb thing. But yet, I expect my encounter of even yesterday to be enough to carry me through today. I expect my filling of fullness of the Spirit to be enough yesterday to carry me through the week. So, I began to think about some things like this. I need desperately to learn how to train my mind to begin to think spiritually about everything. Now listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying floating on the clouds, playing the harp, wearing a diaper, you know, like trying to be an angel. I know, that's the goofiest thing I ever, like, who thinks angels look like that? Right? Oh, he's got a sword, though. Sorry, bad picture. But what if, like, I began to train my mind so that even though I'm speaking right now in the physical, as I'm walking through here near you, I'm actually listening for what God is saying for you. Or I'm actually listening for what God sees, or what God thinks, or what God... Do you understand? Like, you ever read the scripture that says, pray without ceasing, and been like, I fall short, like, whoa, because I stopped praying, right? Like, I prayed, you say, prayed last night, and then I went to sleep. I don't know. There is a place in the spirit that we can actually, do you like that? Spirit. It made me feel spiritual. Do you know why I do this? Here, so the rest of you can see. Because this is the sentience, see, this is the seat of who you are right here. It is the place where your spirit resides right here. It is in your gut. It's in this place that we have to learn to allow God to flow into so that we can flow out of. But if we constantly are thinking about where we fall short, how much we've done wrong, how little we are, how all, and we become so self-absorbed and self-focused and self-analyzing of all the bad things about ourselves, we actually are putting a ceiling over what God wants to do. Now, I'm not talking about not dealing with sin. I'm not talking about not dealing with things that need to change. Or I'm talking about when God comes and says, I have something for you to do, and you go, I'm not so sure. Can I tell you this? I personally think this is one of the biggest roadblocks of why we don't share our faith. We're terrified. We're terrified of a couple things. What if I don't know the right scriptures? That's terrifying to most people. Listen, it's terrifying to me. I don't want to stand up here and be like, I don't know where it says, somewhere in the Bible it says something like, and it could be, and you know, that's scary to me. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to misrepresent God. I don't want, and so I understand that can be a scary place to go and share your faith, or ask somebody if you can pray for them, or whatever. But the second thing, the enemy loves to make you self-examine and realize why you're afraid to share anything with anybody is because of a couple things. Maybe you're afraid you'll misrepresent who he is through your own life. Maybe they'll see something in you that makes you then go, yeah, I saw you do this or whatever. But generally speaking, we're afraid to share our faith with people because we're afraid that we're not enough. We see ourselves like this instead of seeing God like this, you know? So, instead of saying, God said this to me, or God, Holy Spirit told me this, I know I say that a lot, I'm really feeling like the Lord is wanting us to just begin to learn how to see things in the Spirit in a way that, let me back up. I want to read a scripture to you first so you understand why I'm telling you this.
Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. This is really important. The Lord gave me a word. Did you like that? The Lord spoke to me. Holy Spirit said in... there's a word that I heard in my spirit that was this. Ascension gift. Anybody ever heard of ascension gift? So I had never heard anybody talk about this, so I realized immediately, well, shortly after I heard the word, I was like, Lord, what does that mean? I don't know what that exactly, it sounds pretty simple, but what does it mean? And the ascension gifts are when Christ ascended into heaven, he sent Holy Spirit to bring gifts. So before Holy Spirit was on the earth, it wasn't that none of those gifts ever happened or ever existed, but it created the ability for you and I to step into whatever gift Holy Spirit wants to give to us. Do you understand that they're his gifts? They're not yours. They're his. You have different gifts, but the gifts like prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healing, miracles, those things, those are his. And he chooses who he gives them to. Do you understand that? Is that too much? Okay, let's read 1 Corinthians 12 real quick. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren and sistren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. Dumb meaning they don't speak. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Do you know what those are? You guys know what, like a word of knowledge, and this is no slight on any, because sometimes these things don't get explained. It's just like, had a word of knowledge. Well, what is that? Like, if I would have stepped into this church and heard 27 years ago somebody say word of knowledge, I would have been like, word of knowledge. So word of knowledge, simply put, is Holy Spirit revealing something to me about someone else or something else I have no knowledge of before. It could be, I've seen people get addresses. I've seen some crazy accurate stuff that I'm going, wow. And the purpose of the word of knowledge is generally because either God wants to heal something, that the word of knowledge, it might be like you have a back issue, or you have a neck injury, or someone has an arm broke, or, whatever, and God is bringing it forth so that healing can come. Can I tell you this? That just because you have a word of knowledge doesn't mean that you also have the gift of healing. They're different gifts. You might. And here's how I know this to be true. I've had words of knowledge, prayed for people, and they didn't get healed. And I had to go to God and go, God, I don't understand. You told me this. I said what you told me to say. They came and responded. I prayed for them. They weren't healed. What is going on? So the Lord had to go, I didn't tell you to pray for them. I told you to say what you see.
And then the person who has the gift of healing is supposed to be the one that prays for them. It might be one and the same person. Do you understand? Am I being too weird here for you? Okay, I'm just trying to bring a real simple understanding of how the Spirit moves and operates within the body of Christ. So, let me keep going. Where were you guys at? Where are we at? Okay. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You catch how it keeps saying by the same Spirit? Another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Do you know what discerning of spirits is? Discerning of spirits might be, it's not like, oh, that's vodka and that's, right? Like, I know. Maybe there's a reason they call those spirits. But anyway, discerning of spirits is, it might be that we're praying for somebody and they're not seeing breakthrough, or maybe they're manifesting something, or maybe there's something blocking what we feel like needs to happen, and then somebody steps up and goes, hey, I'm seeing this going, I'm seeing that there's a traumatic wound, or I'm seeing that this has happened, or somewhere the enemy has gotten in and it came this way, and so I have operated in that, but that is not like my main gifting that I operate in. Is there anybody in here that operates in that? Awesome. I knew you did. And that can be a little scary, like, because some people weird out by stuff like that. Like, how do you know that? Or what do you mean? Or you know, what, you only see devils? What's wrong with you? I have heard that before. Sorry, I'm going to ask some questions because I feel like this is a good time to jump into this real quick. I'm going to keep reading, but I want to know some things about you. Who feels that you operate in word of knowledge? Awesome. I knew that there was a lot of you because I've seen it, I've experienced it. Anybody feel that you operate in gifts of healing? Awesome. Yeah, and that's great. Do you know that you all can operate in all of these gifts at different, whenever God needs these, they can all take place in you in different ways, but there are ones that we have strength in that seem to constantly be the one or the two or whatever that we really turn to. How many of you would say you don't really know where you're at with that? Like, not as far as like I don't agree with it, but like I don't know what I operate in because I haven't yet exercised it. Okay, totally fair, completely good. I honestly couldn't sit down here and tell you like this is my strongest gift, this is my second gift, this is my. I know that there are times where I've had to learn, and I'm going to say this really carefully because again, do not box these things up and think this is the way it always is. But quite often, the first thing I think is the Spirit. Like, in other words, if I'm sitting down here and I hear somebody say something like often Annie will be leading worship and she might have something she's praying or saying, and I recognize like, there's a reason she's saying that, and this is how God wants us to respond to that. And if I back off of that and go, I generally later come back and go, darn it, I should have just pushed into what God is saying. I'm going to do an exercise. You guys ready for this? This is going to be fun. Okay, don't hate me, Abigail, but I'm going to have you come down here. And you don't have to, but you kind of do. The only reason I'm choosing you, and I know kind of where you operate in,
you're a color person, aren't you? Okay. So I want you to tell me right now, what color do you think of? Just what?
Red.
Okay. Go ahead and sit down. So, what do you think red means? Why red? Why right now? Okay. And without thinking about what a book might say or what anyone has ever told you, what do you think red? Why red? If you don't know, it's completely okay. I don't want you to make anything up. I just am curious if you know why red. Okay, completely fair. Anybody in here know why red? Why red? Fire. Awesome. So I concur. I agree. I knew that immediately when you said it. And it's not wrong that you didn't know. I think we need to be really careful that we don't try to make things up, because we hear something and think we need to know exactly why we said what we said. It's so much better to just go, I'm not sure. Because you might say something to me by the Spirit, and it might mean something to me, and then you try to explain what it might mean to you, and then it makes me go, oh, maybe that. But if I'm struggling to know what it means and someone else does, I think it means this, it might spark something that makes me go, oh yeah, okay, I can totally see that. I'm not trying to be weird or make this into like, I'm just trying to show you something that you can actually exercise what's in your spirit easier than you think. You can actually tap into, this is what God's desire is for us, is that our minds would be set on the Spirit rather than set on the flesh, and you don't have to do anything to think about the flesh stuff. It just happens. Why? Because you've had years and years and years of doing it. So it might take you a little while. It might take you some practices. It might take you some falling down. It might take you some whatever. But here's the thing that I personally have learned to really try and guard against. When you start hearing from God and you start realizing, like, I actually can hear the Spirit of God speaking to me, the first thing that comes in is pride. Anybody disagree? Because the enemy wants you to get puffed up thinking you're something. And there is a difference between recognizing how God sees you and thinking it's because you did something great. Do you understand? Recognizing that I have value to God, value so much that He sent His Son, right? He sent His Son Jesus to do for me what I could not do for myself. That's the value He has for me. Therefore, if I see myself as not valuable, I don't see myself right. And it starts with seeing yourself right. And in seeing yourself right, you can suddenly step into this place. But listen, I know I said it starts with seeing yourself right. It really starts with seeing how He values you so you can be enabled to see yourself right. Because if you don't see yourself right, you're going to question every single thing that you begin to think. Why would God speak that to me? Why would God say that to me? Why would God? Now, I also want to caution you in this. I believe that many people have lost the fear of the Lord in, you know, moving and hearing the Spirit, and we just sort of flippantly throw things out there. We don't care who it hurts. We don't care who, you know. I've been told certain words and kind of gone, I'm not so sure I agree with that. And had people go, I'm just telling you what God told me. Do with it whatever. That is a wrong heart, guys. Wrong heart. It's better to go, I'm submitting this to you. I could completely be wrong. I'm sharing with you what I feel like I heard. But if it doesn't minister to you, I apologize. I'm not meaning to be offensive to you. But I've also found that sometimes people go, I don't think so. And then 5 minutes later, it plays out. Like, you know, or their spouse goes, are you kidding me? That is 100% you. Right? That's usually the one, right? Yeah, I totally can see that. Absolutely, 100%. And sometimes it takes that to kind of jar you like, oh, okay, I guess maybe so. I have seen people use their giftings, their ability to hear God, to in a direction that actually ends up embarrassing or humiliating people, which is never the heart of God either. Listen, God doesn't show us things like, let's say that there's a person sitting here, and I begin to feel by the Spirit that I know something about them. And maybe it was, first of all, I need to tell you that if I felt something about this fake person that's sitting here that was humiliating, embarrassing, traumatic, terrible, the first thing I'm going to do is go, Lord, why are you showing me this? Like, because first, typically, especially like, I've seen people tell people like, you're having an affair with somebody and blah, blah, you know, in public. And it's like, yeah, bad idea. Anyway, don't ever do that. If I ever hear it at you, I will hunt you down. Don't do that. If you know by the Spirit that maybe somebody was hurt as a child, another place you need to be careful. To publicly proclaim that, you better know that God told you to say that before you just start spouting it off. Now, generally speaking, how many of you, when those of you who operate, say, in a word of knowledge, do you typically get, like, I've seen people that, like, maybe their own back starts to hurt, so they know somebody else, like, they don't have any injuries or anything, but for some reason, right here, I'm having this pain, and I believe that's not me, that's somebody else. Anybody operate like that? Okay. Some people get pitchers. Some people see an ace bandage and an arm, or some people hear a word, right arm, you know, whatever. That's me. I'm a hearer. I usually hear, and I don't hear it here. I hear it here. I just kind of know, like, that's why, like, when I'm up here preaching and scripture starts coming out of me, it's because I'm hearing it here. I don't walk around every day and hear scripture like that. I don't walk around my house and be like, honey, Ephesians 5 says you are submit. You know, that's Ephesians 5:21, just in case you wanted to know. I don't do that. Actually, right before that it says submit to each other, right? Yeah. But you know what I mean? I just don't do that. I don't use the word as a weapon in my hands to hurt people and make you, you know. The word of God was never intended to be weaponized by me like that. The word of God was never meant to be conquered like a textbook so that you can know a whole bunch of stuff. That's just, you know, I hear a lot of people throw a lot of scripture out, but when you do that, the first thing that is inevitable is you look at their lives. And I'm not saying everything needs to be perfect, but if I'm telling you, you should love and forgive, and I'm holding unforgiveness that's obvious toward my wife or something, you're going to go, really, great idea. You know, it's just kind of natural. It doesn't change the word, but it changes the speaker of the word, like the power in it. Anyway, so it was never meant to be weaponized for me to try to manipulate and hurt you. Same with the word of knowledge. Same with every gift that we have. It's never intended to manipulate. It's never, that's why I'm not in any kind of disagreement with continuing to pray for people. I don't disagree with that, but I also at the same time have seen it go over the point where a person finally just goes, yeah, I'm better, so they get left alone. So we need to be really careful as we're pulling at these things and not step out of the fear of the Lord, right? Because if we move away from understanding the bigness of God and understanding that it's Him that's enabling this and it's not me doing it, we sort of move into more of an arrogant flow of like... And so there's a place that we need to begin to step into, and I'm sharing this with you because I believe that as we hear certain things and God begins to open up things inside services like this, we need to learn how to take the time to understand and hear what He's saying and know why. Like this. Let me give you an example. Let's say Deborah comes down here and she says, I had a vision, and my vision was I saw a road, and it led to, it looked like it could have been the church, and it was lined with people, but they weren't moving. They were just standing there, and I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure why I got that, but that's the vision I saw. And she goes and sits down. And then we go, okay, cool, let's move on. And we just sort of move. This is how we often do things, and we move on. Instead of going, wait a minute, what is it that God's trying to say here? Because He's not just wanting us to go, cool, a road and people and the church. What the heck does that mean? So immediately I hear a word like that, the first thing I want to know is, why are people not moving? Are people stuck? Are people jammed up? And then you have somebody else who will say, no, no, the church is so packed, people can't get in. This is it. I don't know, but if I'm not pulling actively on what God is trying to share with me or share with you or share with the body, and we leave it for that, Steve's going to hear one thing, I'm going to hear another thing, Jay's going to hear something, Megan and Mike are going to hear something, and we're all going to leave going, that was awesome, and no, that was really bad, and oh my gosh, did you discern the spirit that was set in, and you know, and so that's why 1 Corinthians 12 tells us very clearly, just for sake of time, I'm not going to keep reading, but it tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, first of all, everything we do must be done in love. Secondly, we have to make room for each other because I don't have everything. I don't have all the gifts and all the operation, and I can tell you everything, and this one had the word, so I'm going to tell you what it meant, and Amity came down here and shared a word in tongues, and I've got the interpretation, so I'm going to say it, and you know, and we need to begin to make room for other people to flex a little bit and learn how to operate and hear what God's trying to do. Because this is a safe place that we can do that in, so that when we leave this place and we begin to hear God for other people, we don't have to go out there and be like, thus says the Lord, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, what? Right? So I'm just trying to, like I said, sort of demystify a little bit of this, so that as we move further and more into this, it's not scary, it's not spooky, it's not like, why don't I get that? And why? I mean, I've gone through that the same as any of you. How come I don't get that? How come I've never heard God that way? How come, you know, that person does this? And I've heard a million reasons why, and I've heard good ones and bad ones. But I do know this. All the gifts are His. And we all serve the same Spirit. And so if I can hear my way and you can hear your way and we can value how we hear and we can bring it into a place that we're not all looking for the microphone so that we can share all the things. Because the truth is, I could sit here all day right now and call each one of you down here and teach you how to hear and what to say, and we could do it all day long. And that would be fun, but it's not what I'm feeling like we're supposed to be doing right now. However, I do think that we have to learn how to hear, how to articulate what we hear, and how to do it in a place of love, not manipulation and correction and hurting and wielding weapons and all those things. And so, so this is what I feel like the Lord wants to do right now, today, to get us started in this place. And I shared it in the beginning with the whole story of getting here. Many of you do not see yourself directly. Many of you feel like you're open to what God wants to do, but the moment you begin to hear or feel anything, the first thing you do is crush it by saying, I'm not worthy. I'm too this, or I'm too that, or I, you know, I don't want to do it this way. So I want to tell you some of the just one reason right now that I just thought of why you do this. Many of you, because this is the reason that I really struggled with this, is I was taught early on when I was young that you have to, it's like self-abatement, like I'm a worm, I'm no good, I'm, you know, and you have to recognize that so that you don't steal any glory from Him. Anybody else learn this kind of thing? No. I think that it's far more in the church than what you think. And so you'll hear people try to bring humility to themselves so they can glorify God, but what it does is we don't glorify God by kicking His creation. Right? He created me, and if I sit on His creation and go, that's no good, I'm actually pushing it back on Him. And so I've had to learn that me, like, trying to say I'm this or I'm, is actually a form of pride. When you find yourself in a place like that, it's actually a form of pride, and it's the very thing we're trying to avoid. And so I really feel like that mindset needs to go today. I'm feeling really strongly that the any other avenue the enemy uses to make you feel like you're less than, and God doesn't want to speak to you that way. We addressed last week about God filling you with His Spirit, and some not in experience or encountering speaking in tongues within the baptism of the Holy Spirit and making you feel like somehow you're not worthy or whatever. But this, the Lord wanted me to step just a little step past or back beyond that and say, you need to recognize you're worthy of Him speaking, communicating, talking, interacting, feeling Him, knowing Him, desiring Him, all those things. That there is no roadblock except yourself. You are the roadblock. You are the ceiling. You are, you know, and so begin to shift this. So everybody stand up. I want to do this corporately. I feel, oh, sure. Hang on one sec.
So this morning, I was, I'm going to stand up here because everybody's standing, holding Destiny in my arms. And as I'm holding her, I she's giddy and happy, and I'm like, you make your daddy happy. She didn't do anything to make me happy. She's my daughter. I love her. The daddy's heart is just bursting. It's like, oh, you make me happy. You know, maybe you're in a different place and you feel like dad is spanking you right now. But you know what? He He makes you make him happy. He looks at you and he says, he smiles and he's like, "That's my girl. Amanda, you make your father in heaven happy. Scott, you make your dad in heaven happy. He is smiling on you. Josiah, you make happy. You make your father in heaven happy." And he wants each and every one of us, me included, no matter where you think you are, maybe you stepped in it financially, you know what? He loves you. You make him happy. And he's going to bring you through it. Why? Because he's a good dad. And he wants to transform, just like Zach is saying, the way we think, the way we see him. If you hear something from the enemy, like Zach is saying, that says, you're this, you're that, turn to the enemy and look at the enemy or say to the enemy, "Look, I know I am a child of the living God. And because I'm a child of the living God, I know that he's happy with me. Maybe he's taking me through some stuff, but you don't have the right to speak these things over me. Go back to hell, because that's where you belong, in Jesus' name. So I speak happiness over you in the name of Jesus." The Father loves each and every one of us. He loves you so much. You make him happy. And he looks at you and he smiles. And he says, "That's my child. Thank you, Dad. Thank you. Good word."
So I want you all to take your hands, put them out in front of you. I feel like the Lord wants to drop some things right in your hands. And so I want you to imagine, like, as your hands are like this, I know God can do this completely different, but I just see this flow coming, hitting your hands and driving right into your spirit. And so in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you're dropping into our spirits right now our value, our worth to you, how much you love us, how much you see in us. We shake off and break off all those lies, all the feelings of inadequacy and all those thoughts of, "I don't hear you," or, "You don't want to speak to me," or, "You speak to everybody else. I don't hear you." I say in the name of Jesus, open your ears to hear. I declare over you, if that's you today, if you feel that you do not have spiritual ears to hear, I say open up in Jesus' name. That today your spiritual ears are being unlocked and unpopped. And in Jesus' name now, I say your ears are open to hear. You will receive. You will receive. You will hear. You are hearing in Jesus' name. Thank you for a new level of communion today. That, Lord, we're stepping into this place of common union with you. That, Lord, we can hear you clearly. We can see what you see. We can know what you know when you desire for us to know it. Thank you, Lord, that even today there are ones who you're going to begin to drop new giftings and maybe giftings that have always been there. We just didn't know how to step into it. So, Lord, help us to set our minds today on the things of the Spirit. That, Lord, for long enough, we've set our minds on all the things of the flesh and all the things that tend to weigh us down and make us feel pressure and make us feel like we got to perform or make us feel like we are inadequate or whatever kind of feelings we have. And we choose to step into this place of seeing and thinking in the Spirit in Jesus' name. And I declare over you today a new day and a new season and a new time, that the Spirit of God would speak to you clearly, that you would know how to lead your family the way you desire to lead your family, that you would be the husband you desire to be, the wife you desire to be, that you would know how to father and mother your children, that you would know how to father and mother your spiritual kids that are around you,
that he would open your eyes to see all that's always been true and all that's always been around you, but you've been unable to see it because of the roadblock. I kick that roadblock down now in Jesus' name, and I say you can see. I say you can hear the way that God designed you to hear in Jesus' name. Thank you that anyone in this place or within the sound of my voice online, if you know Jesus, you know the Spirit. And so if you've never invited the Spirit of God to come and dwell and live and you be the temple that carries the presence of God, if you've never invited him and opened yourself and said, I want you to come and live in me, I invite you to do that now. Just say, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come and live in me. Lead my life. Change what I'm seeing. Change what I'm hearing. Lead the direction of my personal life. Lead the direction of my spiritual life. I want a spiritual hunger for the Word in Jesus' name. Do you know that the Spirit of God is what gives you that hunger and desire for the Word? And so if you're hungering, you feel thirsty, you feel hungry for the Word, I declare over you that you will be met in that secret place. And the hunger will rise in Jesus' name. And the dryness that was there when you read will no longer be dry, because it will be the life, the breath of God will breathe upon that Word. And it will have life inside of you. And it won't be a dry read or how does this make sense or what about this or what about that. But suddenly you'll have eyes to see what the Word is saying in Jesus' name. So if that's you, just receive that right now. My time with the Lord in reading the Word will no longer be dry, will no longer be difficult, will no longer be study like this thing. I have to do it. You're going to jump up and be like, I get to get into the Word today. I get to find out what He's saying to me today. So I declare that over you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If your prayer time is dry and it feels like it's just, I can barely make it through 60 seconds, much less 60 minutes, I declare over you a new life in Jesus' name, that the wind of the Spirit would blow upon your prayer time and that you would have so much to pray about, you can hardly stop talking. But I just declare over you the ability not just to speak in your prayer time, but to listen and hear and know that you know that you know that you know that God is leading and directing. So just receive those things into your spirit in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for the color red. I speak fire over each one of you in Jesus' name. Fire to consume, fire to burn up the lies, and fire to drive our lives into greater works in Jesus' name. We thank you. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have this genie in a bottle that we're rubbing, but we have a relationship with you and you desire to speak to us. We love you and we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yeah. So receive that. Grab a hold of it.
I was fighting it. I feel like the Lord wants to heal something in this place. All of us have had moments where we've encountered different parts of the Spirit through other people that has not gone the way that we thought or planned. I believe that there's some like pain and trauma from that. And listen, we are vessels, right? So as we step into this, like, living by the Spirit and welcoming the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're taking risks as people, there's things that happen in that, you know? Taking risks, there's things that I've sang and said up here that my motive in my heart was pure, but, like, I wasn't completely accurate. And so I believe that the Lord wants to heal. There's, like, I just felt this resistance, like, I want to lean into the prophetic, but I got a word one time. One time there was a word of knowledge that was released, and it didn't come to pass. And there's like this halting inside of you. The Lord wants to come and just heal that. this morning. There is an invitation for freedom, like a fresh breath today. So I just want to release that over you. Jesus, we welcome you. We welcome every part of who you are. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you would come like fresh water, like a fresh spring, like the well we were singing about today, Father, that you would come and just stir inside of us and wash away every broken mentality, every old way of thinking, every piece of pain and trauma that we have experienced, that we've held on to. Father, we release it in this place this morning, and we say, Holy Spirit, come and renew my mind, renew my thinking. Father, today is a new day, and I let go of and step away from everything that was not of you, and I step into who you are, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Lord in my life. Today, Jesus, we invite you. We invite you. Every piece of who you are, we want it. All of it. And so, Jesus, we just say yes to you. We say yes to you this morning. We say yes, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. We receive your healing. We receive your new way of thinking. Old for new. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. I just received that. Woof. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. New day. New time. New season. I feel so much hunger from all of you. Like, I feel it pulling at me. It's so good. So good. Thank you, Lord, that you meet our hunger levels. Thank you, Lord, that you exceed those. That, Lord, there is nothing blocking. No roadblock, no ceiling. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whew. We love you, Lord. Yeah. Lord, I just bless each person here. Bless those listening online to step into a new thing, a new time, a new season. A new ion, new era, in Jesus' name. We're not just stepping into a new time, but a whole new ion, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing. Would you bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yes.
I've been feeling that I need to give my husband's testimony. When he went to, we were going to Lutheran church for years, and him and Lily's husband, Bill, his brother, felt they wanted to go to this Bible study at Abbott Loop. And he went there, they went there that one evening, and they knew nothing of the gifts of the Spirit or anything. And a woman gets up and said, first of all, my husband had fell on concrete from the back of the truck and fractured his neck and was in pain all the time, going to chiropractors and everything. Well, this woman explained in the word knowledge everything that was going on with him. And he just sat there panicking, like, what is all this? How did she know all this? And so he didn't do anything. He thought about it all week, and he said, I'm going back next week, and I'm going to talk to the pastor. And he went back, and they prayed for him, for healing, and he was miraculously healed. Never was bothered with it again. And 4 years later, he was out here pastoring this church. And we've had the Holy Spirit with words of knowledge and all the gifts of the Spirit operating here ever since.
Isn't that something? Come on. Listen. That was 1967? Is that right?
1966. And that was all Dick Benjamin started Abbott Loop in 1959 based upon the move of God. He was radically impacted. And I know I've shared this before, but the roots of this church were revival, renewal, fivefold ministry, apostolic, I mean, you name it, it was taking place. And so as we're moving into this, I do recognize this is not new. We serve the Ancient of Days. We serve the one who all these things are his, but I'm just, there's such a level of hunger and such a desire coming from you and from me, and so he is going to meet those desires every time. So you receive that? Amen. Love you guys. Bless you. Have an amazing afternoon.